person, listen to me. Look at the person and say, you're good looking. Come on, turn around. Even if it's not true, turn to your husband, Hilda, and tell him he's good looking. Even if it's not true, tell him. Now, here's another thing to do. Turn to the person you just talked to and say, you're better looking than me. Even if it's not true. Come on, come on. Now, here's another one. We've done it at the start of the service. We had a video on. Clap our hands this morning. Clap our hands. Now, raise our voices slightly. Come on, raise our voices. Come on, shout. 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 Come on, Hilda. Come on, shout. Raise our voices. Come on, raise the voice. Anybody starting to get a bit uncomfortable? Anybody getting a little bit uncomfortable? Now, I want you to do another thing. Fold your arms. Now, do it the opposite way. Opposite way. Fold your arms the opposite way. Opposite way. Sit like that for a minute. The opposite way. Sit like that for a minute. The opposite way. It's a little bit uncomfortable, isn't it? It's really awkward, actually, isn't it? It is really, really awkward. And the message this morning is some ways a wee bit like this, okay? It's an uncomfortable message. But the book of James in general is a really uncomfortable message for those in the church, isn't it? It's a message that wants to challenge us and wants to mature us in many ways. But you've made it to church this morning, as you're here, as you're comfortable. That's all great. And James, remember, this morning is talking to the church. He's talking to those in the church this morning. That's James who he's talking to. That's his audience. He's talking to those this morning that say they're Christians, that profess Christianity, okay? But here's what he's getting at. He was saying there's those in the church that profess Christianity, but their actions may say different, okay? Now, I know most of you's in here, and I know most of your actions are good, but we've got to take something out of this morning for ourselves, okay? Because I have all week been taking something from ourselves. It's a warning to us in many ways as well this morning. It's not to get lazy in our faith. That our walk in some ways can become ineffective for Jesus, okay? This is where James wants to go this morning. And James wants to talk about a faith that is genuine this morning, or is it a faith that's dead? I love the story this morning, and you'll have all heard this story, so you will. It's a very common story that's used in a faith sermon or whatever you want to call it. But I haven't used it before, and I've read it and all this here. But it's a man called Charles Blondin is his name, okay? One of the greatest tightrope walkers in the world, way back in, where have I got it, 1859. And he attempted to cross the Niagara Falls on a rope, on a wire, with nothing underneath, and them days they didn't have nets and supports and all this here. So he had to walk across the Niagara Falls. So imagine the setting this morning. The cable is stretched over a quarter of a mile. There's a sound of thundering water below. He would walk back and forth over the tightrope with the crowds looking on. They were cheering, they were shouting like we were this morning, maybe some of their arms folded, whatever. Once he even crossed in a sack. Imagine that, he had a sack, and he actually walked across the tightrope on a sack. Think about that this morning. One time he was on a bicycle, and it said that he even carried a stove across and cooked an omelette while he was on this tightrope. This is this guy, Bondin, this morning. On July 15th, it says he walked backwards across the tightrope and returned pushing a wheelbarrow. The story's told, and it's a true story, you can look it up. It says, after pushing the wheelbarrow across with the blindfold on, he asked the audience for some participation, a wee bit like we did this morning. They had watched him walk across the rope, do the wheelbarrow. They had watched him, they had cheered, they had oohed, and they had ahed, and they had shouted, and they watched what he had just done. They seen it was possible that he could do these feats. They knew he could do it. There was no doubt in their minds he could do it. All the things that he said he could do, he proved it. But this time with the wheelbarrow in his hands, he asked for a volunteer to get into it with the blindfold on, and he would take him over the Niagara Falls in the wheelbarrow. Think about that this morning. Would you do it? You see, sure, he could do it. You've seen him do it. You've seen him do it with many different things. And they were cheering him on. They were for him. They were all this. But when he asked for somebody to get into the wheelbarrow with him, nobody volunteered. That's where the story went. So it is, nobody would get into this wheelbarrow with him. And it's the big point this morning as we come to our verse this morning. It's the story that paints a real life picture of actually what faith is. How well do your actions mirror the faith you proclaim? We can believe things, we can see things, we can agree with things, but when we're asked to get into this wheelbarrow, it's a different matter, isn't it? And James starts the argument with a question, and he talks about a saving faith. And particularly in this passage, it's a test of a genuine faith James wants to talk about. It's a faith versus a false faith he talks about. It's an exploration of what true Christianity actually is. And he asks the question, what is it God expects of me and you? What is it God actually expects for those who claim to follow him? For those who profess with their mouths? What is it that God really expects of us? The question is asked this morning, can faith alone save us? Can faith alone save us? Can a person simply by saying they believe be saved? That's what the question is this morning. Have they a genuine salvation is the other question. And the answer we know to that is no. Just saying we believe, just knowing that he can do a wheelbarrow across, doesn't mean we actually believe unless we get into the wheelbarrow. Is it a genuine faith is the question this morning. We know that faith is a lifestyle. It's not enough just to know or believe. Real faith, we're told, is shown by the way we live. Isn't that right? We would all agree on that there at least. For James, faith was no abstract proposition this morning. He argues that it was something that would affect us in the real world. And he talks about faith and endurance. It says faith endures in the midst of trials. We've seen that in week one. He said genuine faith, somebody who believes in Christ, somebody who follows Jesus, their faith always perseveres no matter what happens. It always stands the test of what we're going through. Genuine faith, and we'll see this here maybe next week, helps control our tongues. Genuine faith should influence our actions. This faith that we proclaim should care for one another, and it doesn't have any favorites. Davey touched on that a wee bit last week. It's a faith that should be alive, we're told. It should have an impact in us and through us. It should leave its mark wherever we go. And even though we're far from perfect this morning, okay, I'm letting you off the hook a wee bit and letting myself up. We're far from perfect this morning. That should at least give an amen, okay? Takes a bit of the pressure off us. We're far from perfect this morning. But it's our faith in Jesus, we know, that should set us apart. Isn't that correct? We're far from perfect, but it's our faith in Jesus that sets us apart. As we come to our reading this morning, it's in James 2, 14 to 19, and we'll break it down just a wee bit. And I'm being very conservative in this passage this morning, but James 2, 14 to 19. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have a faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, it is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there is a God, one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and they shudder. Let's just pray as we've just read God's word. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Open our ears, Lord. Open our hearts and even our minds this morning to what this may mean for us. Amen. It's one of the most controversial parts of Scripture. It's why those who are theologians do not like this passage, okay? It debates between faith and works. And there's two sides to this story, okay? There's two sides to this passage. There are two views on it. One overemphasizes faith, and the other view on it is overemphasizes works while forgetting faith. One overemphasizes faith while forgetting works, and one overemphasizes works while forgetting faith. I nearly got that all out. And the big problem we run into this morning, one of our requirements for salvation, the results of our salvation is simply this, isn't it? Salvation is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. We agree on that, don't we? So it's by faith alone we're saved, but it can't be all about faith alone. This is where James is coming at. True salvation, genuine, true faith, always results in good works, James tells us. And here's the big point this morning, and here's where we've got to take this morning. James isn't referring to a faith. Have you got my slide on there? James isn't referring to a faith with works, the other one. But he's saying a faith that works. Does that make sense? It's not a faith we have with works, but it's a faith that works, is what James is getting at here. And it's not contradictory. It's why these theologians and these guys sit around and don't like the book of James in many ways, so they don't. It's not contradictory to what Paul teaches at all, because Paul takes we're saved by faith alone. That's Paul's message. But it's a faith that works, James says. That's what he's getting at here. And he's not saying, Paul actually is not saying, it's not about all what we do. He says genuine faith, true salvation, always requires fruit, James says. We use the words, don't we? Are we all talking no action? Does anybody ever use that? I use it quite a lot. All talking no action. We use it, don't we? And this is where we are this morning. Or a better way to put it, does your faith this morning have legs? I read that this week and thought that was a really good way to put it. Can your faith this morning walk? Is a good way to put it. Has it the ability to walk? Has it the ability to move? Is your faith this morning a faith with no fruit attached? And James makes it clear this morning, just because someone claims to have faith doesn't mean they do. Obviously, he's talking into the church, so he is, and there's people in the church, there's false teachers and things like that, and James is trying to weed them out a wee bit. And the challenge set before us, if we could take something out of this morning, the challenge set before us, a genuine faith in Christ, a genuine walk with Christ, a faith that is fruitful, should always be accompanied by corresponding actions. A genuine faith should always have actions attached to it. That's what James is saying. If it's a real faith, the argument James brings us this morning, it's something that manifests in us, producing a fruit of love and compassion for others. James reminds us that in verse 21, he says, was it not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith and his actions were working together. And faith was made complete by what he did. Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteous. That's what Paul teaches. And he was called God's friend. You see, that person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. It's a brilliant argument. Faith with actions, a faith made complete by what he did, faith that was made righteous, but also by doing. Jesus said something which was quite distressing in many ways. Not all who bear fruit will enter the kingdom, Jesus says. In Matthew 7, Jesus addresses this and he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But one who does the will of my Father, that's the key verse there, the one who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And James would push us just a wee bit further onto this. In chapter 1 and 20 he says, do not merely listen to the word, he says, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In other words, if there are no deeds of faith to prove a genuine spiritual life, a person is derived and playing the fool. Let me just try and box this up a wee bit. There's something we all need to hear this morning, okay? Many of us have a faith. Many of us are doing what God's asked us to do. That's not the problem here, okay? We know that. But there's something we all need to hear this morning. We all profess Christ. I would say who I know in here would. We say we have a faith. We say we love Jesus. That we're Christians. That's it. But here's what James is maybe getting at for us this morning. We sometimes talk the talk, don't we? We sometimes talk the talk, but we don't really walk it. We never fully surrendered. We don't live in obedience, and we can all say that. I can say that this morning. Our actions, most of the time, or some of the times, do not mirror the faith we proclaim. And James warns us in many ways here, and he is talking to false teachers, but he would warn the Christian this morning. If your faith does not mirror your actions, maybe he's saying it's a faith that is dead or is dying. Martin Luther says this, faith alone saves us, but it must be a living, genuine faith. Genuine faith will produce good works. It will be accompanied by actions. James in verse 17 says, if faith is alive by the seeing of it's accompanied by works, if it does not have works, it is dead. For dead faith produces nothing, James says. And Jesus teaches a wee bit in this too, doesn't he? He says, every good tree bears fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. And he goes on to say this, we use it quite a lot, don't we, when we see somebody who's maybe say they're a Christian or not, and says, you shall know them by their fruit, Jesus said. In other words, he's telling his disciples, the fruit of their lives proved what was inside their hearts. And here's maybe what James is getting at this morning. Here's where I think it all lies this morning. To encourage us, not to put us down this morning. This should be encouraging this morning. This should sort of revamp us a wee bit this morning. This should make us shout a wee bit. Here's what I think he's getting at. Whenever Christ touches our lives, who remembers the day Christ touched your life? Wow. Wasn't it a wow moment? Wow, things will never be the same again. Somewhere along the line, that disappears a bit, doesn't it? Starts to die a bit. Starts to get a wee bit flat in all of this. But remember, he touched your lives. We knew there was a change. We knew there was an effect of some kind. We repented of our sins. We said we were sorry. We wanted to go that way instead of that way, the old way. There's an effect that takes place in us. Let me ask you a question. If you were to touch an electrical cable this morning with 440 volts in it, okay? If I was to hand it to you and you were to touch it, would it have an effect on you? Some of your hairs would stand up, not yours, Charlie. Some of our hairs would stand up this morning. So, but if you were to touch a live cable this morning, what would it do to you? It would have such an effect on you, wouldn't it? And we know there's seasons in our lives. We will bear little fruit. We will do little for God. We know that. Sometimes that's God just doing something in us. There's times that we're going to stumble in our faith. Not in the big ways, but in the small ways. We all stumble. Our faith even becomes weak. But when Jesus comes in, listen, when Jesus comes into us, when you've tasted and seen, and that's how I know true believers to false believers, when you've tasted and seen Christ and God and what he's done, when we're obedient, when we walk in his ways, just like no one can touch a cable with 440 volts and not have an effect on them. I wonder this morning if our faith is just becoming just all intellect. I have seasons like that where it's all in my head and not in my actions. I have to say I do. I wonder if our faith this morning is starting to stumble in some ways. Or is it dying this morning? Or is it dead this morning? And the question we need to ask, or is being asked of us this morning in this hard portion of Scripture, the question we need to ask, what effect is it having on those around us, our faith? If you proclaim Christ, if it's had an effect on you, what effect is it having in and around your circumstances, your family, wherever that may be? Is it a moving faith? Has it got legs to take you to church? Has it got legs to take you to a prayer meeting? Has it got legs to take you into all the right places? Or have those legs this morning stopped moving? Have those legs on your faith stopped moving sometimes? Do they take you to the wrong places? Do the meek say the wrong things? Has your faith this morning, has it a faith that even refuses to walk this morning? God's way, in obedience. Has it even lost its endurance somewhere? You see, a faith that is obedient will never show favoritism, James says. It will always take us out of our comfort zones. It's a faith that obeys His will and not our will. It's a saving faith, or is it a dying faith? James asks the question. And he hits the big question, doesn't he? I could go in another side of this, but I won't. James hits the big question this morning. Can faith save him? Is just believing enough? Paul would write in Ephesians to counteract this. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, not by our own efforts or by works. Here's what I think James is saying this morning, okay? Let me just try and box it a wee bit. I'm having that much to do this morning. It's good that we give our lives to Jesus, okay? That's brilliant. That's fantastic. Amen to all of that. We've given our lives to Jesus. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. It's great to say that you're forgiven. It's great to know it. It's great to live it. It's great of all that. He says, that's brilliant, he says. It's fantastic to have the knowledge that Jesus has paid it all. It's a privilege to be called a son or daughter in the kingdom of God. It's a privilege. It's great to believe that he died and he rose again. That's the core of our faith. That's fantastic that we have and we know all that knowledge. It's brilliant, he says. But here's what I think he's saying this morning. Now prove it in how you live. Hits us a wee bit. Has an effect on us, doesn't it? It's great that you know all of this. It's great that you believe all of this. Now go and prove it. I think that's what James is saying in this verse this morning. Do your actions mirror this faith you proclaim? Faith will always have something attached to it, and it's called works or deeds or fruit. Jesus always produced fruit. When our faith produces fruit, it moves us in the right directions. Faith and works, James tells us, goes together. They're not void of each other. There's a brilliant story, and I tried to get two oars this morning. Have I got the oars up? I tried to get them. I was going to try and do something with them, but it hasn't worked out. There's a story about an old boatman, and he painted the word faith on one of the oars of his boat and works on the other, as you can see. He was asked, why do you do this? And he answered with this. He put the oar with faith into the water and he rowed. The boat started to go round in a tight circle. Returning to the dock, the boatman said, now let's try the oar with works on it and remove the oar with faith. He began to row again in a tight circle in the opposite direction of the faith oar. Returning to the dock again, he said these words, you see, to make a passage across a lake, it needs both oars, working simultaneously in order to keep the boat in a straight and narrow way. You see, when our faith is genuine, when we have a genuine faith, works will always follow faith. They're not void of each other. They work together. When we have a faith, when we have deeds going in the right direction, we will go in the right direction, James is telling us. We bear fruit with our faith. Our faith bears fruit. A faith that bears fruit can only be found where? In Jesus. Jesus said in John 15, what did he say? And we read this a lot, and I've spoken on it before. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit. While every branch does not bear fruit, he prunes so they'll be even more fruitful. And if your faith is dying this morning, listen to what he has to say. Here's his prescription for that. If you have stopped walking and you do more talking in your faith, as I do most of the time, Jesus says these words, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must be remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will do much things. You will do mighty works. You will do more than you could ever think. It's not in that scripture verse. Apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. Want to know what dead faith is like? If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burnt. A faith with legs, a faith that walks, a faith that's living looks like this. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish, it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Nearly there. Jesus tells us a faith that really matters. He talks about a faith that really matters, a faith that bears fruit. He talks about a life that really matters that can only be found in him. I love the story of, I don't know if you've ever seen the film, Pearl Harbor, the war film about Pearl Harbor being attacked. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's a story about two young American pilots, and they survived an attack that happened. One young pilot called Raff, R-A-F-F, he was a keen young pilot, and he doesn't get it why the Americans have not joined the war. Desperate to matter, it says, he decided to go and he will fly for the British and the Spitfires. The story unfolds, he arrives on British soil, he goes into one of the big hangars that's waiting there, the RAF squadron are there, they're ready to go into battle. He arrives towards the hangar, the commander approaches him, wondering what he's doing, why has he come, why have you came to America, to Britain, to join this battle? He asks the question, why are you so keen to join the war? And the commander said this, are all Yanks as anxious as you to get themselves killed? And here's what Raff said. Here's the words that are so profound. This keen young pilot from America said these words. He says, I'm not anxious to die. I'm anxious to matter, he says. I'm actually anxious to matter. And I wonder this morning, as I take a light approach to this verse, I wonder this morning, is that the underlying message? To live a life that actually matters this morning. Do you ever question, is your faith genuine? Do you ever question it? I think we all do at some stage. I don't ever believe I'm not saved, but I question if my faith is genuine sometimes. Do you ever think your faith is dead, if it's just dying? You see, those with a genuine faith will get to live a life that matters. Those who attach to the vine, those will get pruned in season and they will bear much fruit. Those whose faith is in the Lord Jesus will bear much fruit, we're told. It has faith that has legs. It's a faith that walks. It's a faith that does more than just talk. It's a faith that will actually matter this morning. It's a faith that will impact. It's a faith that will bear much fruit. So this morning, as I wrap this up, the question's asked, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have a faith but no deeds? Can such a faith save them? The answer is no. Faith is so much more than believing. Let me ask you another question this morning as we finish. How is your faith this morning? Is it alive or is it dead? Or are you in short supply of it this morning? As we come to pray, close your eyes for a minute for me as we round this up. Just close your eyes for a second. Paul sets us out with a challenging question in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you're in the faith and living your lives as committed believers, he says. Test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you're in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. Examine yourselves, he says. Not me. Don't look at me, he says. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves by your ongoing experiences you're having, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test and are rejected as counterfeit. Test and evaluate yourselves and see whether you're in the faith this morning and living the lives as committed believers. Is Jesus number one this morning? Are you as committed as you once were? Do you trust in that name? Is it above all names this morning? Or are you just lying on the vineyard floor? Are you dead inside or are you alive? Has your faith lost something this morning? The answer this morning is a simple one. Always has been. It's Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. Want the faith that's alive and kicking this morning? Want the faith that looks living? Come to Jesus. Want the faith that walks in the right direction? Come to Jesus. Want the life that bears fruit, good fruit? Look to Jesus. Want the life that really matters this morning? Who else can we look to but Jesus this morning? Come to Him. Stay with Him. Acknowledge Him. Surrender to Him. Be obedient to Him. We have choices to make. We made the choice this morning to come to church. We made the choices this morning to put our clothes on. We made choices, we'll make choices later in the day. But the only choice that ever matters in this room is a life in Jesus. A life that is rooted in Him. Let's pray.